This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
Roma Wines present Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you as stars an old friend of these proceedings, Mr. Peter Lorre, and a newcomer, Mr. Richard Conti. For their appearance tonight, Joe Eisinger has written an original suspense play with sporting blood in its veins, and in which death has a ringside seat. Its title, with apologies to Mr. Steinbeck, is Of Maestro and Man. And so, with the performance of Peter Lorre as the maestro and of Richard Conti as the man, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Number is 8. Ada from Decatur. Get aboard, boys. Speculate so you can accumulate. Put down a handful, pick up a hatful. And he throws a 5. The money is 8. Make the point and break the joint. 7-1 the hard way. The man wants 2 4s. He'll make it the hard way. He's got a hunch. He bets a bunch. Get aboard, boys. And the dice read. Days in the week. 7 and the man's down. Pass the dice and make some ice. Everybody plays and everybody wins. Lay it on the line, we pay it on the line. 3-2, 6-8, even money, 10-4, I lay it and take it. Right or wrong, I go along.
A tough one to lose, maestro.
Oh, Mr. Cripp.
Did I frighten you?
Oh, no. It's just that I didn't...
Maybe your nerves need looking over, maestro. I think I'd have jitters, too, if I dropped a bundle like you did tonight.
What time is it?
3 a.m., maestro. Too late to play again.
Oh, please, another hour. Huh?
I don't mean the time. I mean, I think I got enough of your paper for one night. Huh? My stick man just handed me these tabs, 15G.
You know that my IOUs are good, Mr. Cripp. You know that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. You ever see my private office, maestro? Hmm? Right this way. Sit down, maestro.
Well, it's growing late, and
this'll only take a minute. How's Ricky?
Hmm? Oh, Ricky. He's in the mountains. He has a vacation, a little rest.
You know, it's a great little welter, that Ricky Martin. Punched like a heavy, feet like a flyweight. Yeah, fine boy to have in your stable.
I don't have what you call a stable, Mr. Cripp. Ricky Martin is all I've got.
Yeah. All of my life I dreamed of having a boy like Ricky Martin. Not for the money, not for what he'd bring just to own him. Like a fast horse carrying your colors. He leaves them all behind. You know, I'd be willing to trade you any 3 of my boys for Ricky Martin.
Well, that's very generous of you, Mr. Cripp, but I don't think you would.
Well, you're a lucky man, maestro, finding a boy like that.
Yes, I
sometimes wonder how you did it. You haven't been in the fight game long in this town. I remember the first time I see you and your boy hanging around the garden.
Yes, that's right. The fighting profession is still a little strange to me. You see, all my life I've been an impresario, you might say. In Paris, in Brussels, Vienna, ballet, opera, plays. And when I came to this country and found Ricky, I could see that he was a...
Yeah, you could see, all right. Cigar?
Thank you.
There you are. I always say there's nothing like a good cigar to promote good feeling in the business talk.
Business talk? What do you mean?
A little matter of 32G.
Oh.
17 you dropped last week and 15 tonight.
Yes, my luck has been a little bit out.
You know, that's a very impressive signature you've got, Maestro. Like a professor or something. All those curls and loops, very impressive. Looks like $1 million on these tabs. I'm sure it's good for 32G.
Of course it...
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that.
Well, if that's all, Mr. Cripp,
That's all, Maestro.
Well, then, good night, Mr. Cripp.
Just a minute, my friend. You're leaving something behind.
What?
Your IOUs.
I don't understand.
I figure I got enough of your paper. I want my money now.
But I can't. I haven't...
get it.
I must have time.
I run a cash business.
But you gave me credit.
You got assets.
What?
Ricky Martin.
No.
Then pay.
No. I won't let you steal him from me. He's mine. Do you hear me? He's mine. I found him. I built him. And you can't steal him from me.
I want that boy.
No. I love him like a brother.
Nuts, you've swindled him on every fight.
I won't give him up.
Then you'll pay my collectors 32G.
But it's a gambling that you can't collect.
My collectors don't carry a summons. A barrel and 50 pounds of cement.
All right, Mr. Cripp. You leave me no arguments. And you've added greatly to my education.
I don't think there's much I can teach you, Maestro. Only this time I'm out in front. I'll show you I'm a generous man. Honest John Cripp. Run an honest game and I make a square deal. 50G for the boy. 32 in tabs, 18 in cash. No beefs later.
Thank you.
I was sure you'd be sensible about this, Maestro. I had the contract drawn up. Just put that impressive signature on the dotted line.
May I use your pen?
Sure.
Thank you. There you are, Mr. Cripp.
Ricky Martin now belongs to me.
Mm-hmm. Your pen writes very easily.
You can keep it, part of the deal.
Thank you. I shall treasure it as the most expensive pen in the world.
How soon will Ricky be back in town?
I expect him in my office tomorrow.
Good. You'll tell him he now belongs to honest John Cripp.
Yes, I'll tell him. You know, Mr. Cripp, I don't think Ricky Martin is going to like being owned by you.
You just leave that worry to me, Maestro. I have a way of making people like me. Even if it kills them.
Night for Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you the play called Of Maestro and Man. You have heard Peter Lorre in the prologue to this study in suspense.
And now for a moment, let's conjure up a scene of our own. Let's imagine ourselves in sun-drenched Havana. Let's imagine that we're dining in the gay Club Montmartre. As you listen to the music, you put down your wine glass to tell our host how much you enjoy his hospitality. Part of the credit belongs to Cuba, he smilingly acknowledges, but part of the credit belongs also to your country for producing this excellent wine which adds so much to our enjoyment. For this is Roma wine from California in your own USA. Now, it is a fact that connoisseurs of many other lands know the excellence of Roma wines made in famous wineries located in the heart of the choice wine districts of California. But millions of Americans also know these things and have made Roma by far America's largest selling wine. Here at home, Roma wines are truly inexpensive. No duty, no overseas shipping costs to pay. And for only pennies a glass, your meals, your entertaining, can have the added delight of superb Roma wines. You will find them of truly excellent flavor and character. Fine products of age-old winemaking skill, perfected by modern quality controls and tests. Ask for R-O-M-A, Roma Wines, made in California, for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Peter Lorre as the Maestro and Richard Conte as Ricky Martin in of Maestro and Man. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
See, Ricky hasn't come yet?
Huh? Oh, no, boss. I've been sitting here in your office like you told me, but he ain't come and he ain't called.
I don't understand it. I can't. His train arrived 2 hours ago and...
Hello. Hello, Maestro, Sam.
Ricky, where have you... Oh.
Maestro, this is Lynn Carter.
How do you do?
How do you do, Miss Carter?
And this is Sam Lynn. He was my trainer.
Hello.
Ricky has told me so much about you during the past 2 weeks that I feel like...
Yeah, you know how it is, Maestro. Out on the lake at night, the guy gets to rambling and...
I found it all very colorful.
Ricky, there's something I must tell you if Miss Carter will excuse us for it.
But there's something I must tell you, Maestro. Hmm? It's about Lynn and me. You see, we...
What is it, Ricky?
Well, Lynn and me, we're gonna be married.
Married?
What?
Yeah, we just, well... When I met Lynn, I don't know how to tell you this, Maestro. You know how I feel about you.
Ricky, Ricky, what are you trying to say?
It's...
Tell me.
It's just that I...
Ricky is trying to tell you, Maestro, that he's quitting the ring.
Ricky's quitting the ring?
Ricky quitting?
I must, Maestro. I'm going away with Lynn to South America. Her father owns a... He wants us to live down there. I'm going to work for him.
But, Ricky... Ricky, you can't. Not now. I'm
sorry, Maestro, but don't make it tougher for me. You know I always wanted to quit, always hated it. Now I have a good reason. We're taking a plane to Rio tonight.
But you can't, Ricky. You can't run out on me like this.
I don't figure I'm running out on anybody.
But you don't know what's happened, Ricky. You can't quit. I sold you.
What?
To Crip.
The Crip? To that? Why didn't you ask me first?
I couldn't, Ricky. I have
buying
to.
And selling me so much beef on the hoof for so much a pound.
But you know...
Buy me and sell me until I can't take any more punishment and
please,
there's no buyer.
Ricky.
That's why I'm getting out. Lynn was right. 2-3 years in the Crip stable, I'm a punching bag for the new boys. A gibbering idiot like poor Sam here.
Who's your...
I'm sorry, Sam. I just...
Don't call me. I'll kill you.
Shut up, Sam. So Lynn was right, huh? I knew it was her fault. I knew it the minute she walked in here, smelling of her perfume.
All
and
right.
Yes, it's all your fault. Why didn't you leave him alone?
Maestro.
He's different from you. He's not your...
Cut it.
No. You like the way he looked in the sun, in trunks, huh? These muscles and that beautiful body.
That's enough.
You just had to have him. You had to bring him back to show
Maestro.
To your friends, huh? Great catch. You scheming, conniving,
you...
5 cent...
Ricky, don't! Sam, stop him. You'll kill him. Ricky!
Ricky!
He's choking!
Oh. All right. I'm all right now.
Oh, Ricky.
I should have killed him for that. Come on, let's get out of here.
Boss. You all right, boss?
Yes, sir.
Well, he liked to kill you then. Your face is a funny color.
Help me to the car,
sure. Sure, boy. Sure. Hey, are you all right now, boys?
Yes, sir. I'm all right now, Sam. You're a good boy, Sam.
Sure, Sam's a good boy. Sam's no rat, but Ricky's a rat. Huh, boss? Ricky's a rat.
Sam, we must do something. Sam.
Oh, sure, boss. That Ricky is a rat. He called me an idiot. I'll kill him, boss. Sam's a good boy.
Yeah.
He don't like for Ricky to do the boss no hate.
No.
I'll kill him.
Sam. Please, you must not get excited, Sam. We must think.
Sure, boss. Let's think. Your lip is all with bleed.
Yes, you're a good boy. He called you an idiot, yes, but you're a good boy, Sam.
I like when you pat me on the head like that, boy.
We have a problem, Sam. Mr. Crip must not hear about Ricky quitting.
Ricky quitting, boys?
Something happened to Ricky. An accident. They happen every day, Sam.
Oh, sure. Accidents happen. Well, when I was
then
a little boy,
a Cripp and say, it's a tragic thing, Mr. Cripp. Fine boy like that. You're a boy, Mr. Cripp. You're a $50,000 boy, Mr. Cripp. It's a tragic thing, huh? Yes. Tragic finale to a promising career.
Oh, yeah, boss. That would be some tragic, some finale,
it
huh?
It must be an accident, Sam. Mr. Cripp must never be able to say. Do you understand that, Sam?
Oh, sure, but when I was a little boy,
Sam,
yeah, boss?
Sam, in Langton's gym. You know where the main steam valve for the steam room is?
What, boss?
The valve, Sam. The one that lets the live steam into the steam room.
Oh, sure, boss. The gadget that the guy turns off and on the steam, right, huh?
That's right, Sam.
Oh, sure, boss. It's under the stairs in the basement on the other side of the gym.
That's right.
You know, on the side where the pipes...
Yes, Sam, yes. Do you think you could get under the stairs into the basement?
Oh, sure. Nobody cares if I go to the basement. Sometimes I go there...
Yes, Sam. And do you think you could open the valve as wide as it'll go?
Open the... For all the steam to go fast into the steam room?
Yes, Sam.
Oh, boy, that's some hot, all that steam, boys.
Yes,
hey, you can't stay in there and all that hot. Did you was up the gym when poor Sharky got all the hot because the valve broke and the door was stuck? Did you was there when they brung him out? Boy, that was some looking dead Sharky, all right, all
yes,
right.
Yes, Sam, a very tragic accident.
Some tragic, all right, boy.
Sam, come here. Take my watch. Can you read the time?
Well, sure. What do you think? I'm a dumb...
Oh.
The little hand is on a 2,
uh-huh.
And the big hand is on a 6.
That's right.
And that means half past 2, no?
That's okay. Right, Sam. Now, look. When the little hand will be on a 5, you see, no? And the big hand on a 12 here, it'll be...
At 5 o'clock.
That's right.
Yeah, you see, I'm no dumb. 5 o'clock.
And at 5 o'clock, Sam, you must be in the basement at Langton's gym by the steam valve. And exactly 5 o'clock, Sam, you'll open the valve all the way.
For all the hot?
Yes, Sam, all the hot.
Oh, but you can't stay in... The Joe is up the gym one shot.
I won't be in the steam room, Sam. But Ricky will. Alone. Ricky Martin's apartment, please.
One moment, please.
Hello?
Ricky? Hello, Ricky.
What do you want?
Ricky, please, I don't know how to begin, but I've got to see you. There is so much I want to say to
you. I'm sorry, Maestro.
Look, Ricky, please, just for a few minutes. Please, Ricky. Look, meet me at Langton's gymnasium, huh? Look, you have all your old boxing things
in the
locker room. I want you to give them to me. I want to keep them, Ricky, as a souvenir.
Well, okay, Maestro. Just for a few minutes, though. I have to meet Lynn at the airport at 6.
Oh, thank you, Ricky.
Forget it. Meet you at Langton's in a half an hour.
Fine. Goodbye, Ricky. You'll come.
Ricky? And you'll get him in a steam room?
Yes, Sam. Yes. I'll get him into the steam room. And I'll sit there with him and talk to him. And talk to him about this and about that. With steam thick around us, hiding us from each other. And when I begin to feel the live heat, Sam, at 5 o'clock, Sam, at 5 o'clock, I'll be talking about old times as I quietly slip out of the room. And he'll be sitting there alone, thinking of old times, not knowing I'm gone and that he's alone until it is too late. He will hear the sudden rush of steam and feel the scalding heat. And he'll run to the door, but it will not open. And he'll pound and scream in agony, but the door will stick. And each scream will draw burning steam into his lungs. And then they'll find him. Be too late. Too late. It will be too late. Oh, hello, Ricky. Hello. I'm so glad you came. See, I was just going to take my steam bath.
I had to wait until Lynn called me. I told her to meet us at the airport at 6.
Oh, good, good, good. Come, Ricky, let's go to the locker room, huh? Look, here is your old locker, Ricky. You have the key?
Yes. Here, you open it.
Thank you. But first, Ricky, please, I want to tell you how I feel, how I've been so miserable because... You should have killed me, Ricky.
Maestro.
Yes, Ricky, I deserved it, but you see, I wasn't myself. You know that.
Let's forget it, Maestro. Go ahead, open the locker.
All right, thank you. See? Look. Your punching bag. Look, your trunks. Your gloves. And here, look here, Ricky, this pair. This pair you wore the night you beat Kit Foy. Wasn't that a fight, Ricky? How can we ever forget the third round? Remember what the newspaper said? Every word is burned into my memory. Last night, a new star of the ring was born. Ricky Martin, sensational new welter.
Cut it, Maestro.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Ricky. I know how you feel. Ricky, are you sure? Isn't there one chance that you'll change your mind?
No, Maestro. Not a prayer. What time is it?
Well, it's only about 4:45. Come on, Ricky, don't you want to have your last team with the old maestro?
Well, I...
Don't come.
Well, okay, but remember, old maestro, 5 o'clock's my deadline.
Oh, well, Ricky, that I guarantee you.
Say, who's around at this time of the day?
Huh? Oh, you.
Sam, I wanted to tell you how sorry I am.
Oh, sure, so I'm sorry, all right. Call me a... Put on the boss a slug.
Come on, get going.
Oh, boy. You're going to be some hot sorry, all right.
Sam, stop mumbling. Get going.
Some hot tragic finale, all right.
Get going.
Oh, that poor guy. See, Maestro, that's why I'm getting out now. I don't want to look like that in 5 years.
Here's your towel, Ricky. Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm ready. How much time we got?
Well, it's just a couple of minutes before 5. It's time for a quick steam and a shower, and then we meet Lynn.
Okay.
Good old steam room.
They really got that steam up today.
Yeah.
It's so thick you can't see your hand in front of you.
Yeah, but it's good for you. Come on here. Feel your way over here, Ricky. Come sit here with me on the second shower. Here. Yeah, that's right. Just keep your head down and your eyes closed and relax like me.
Yes. This feels fine.
Yes. You'll begin to feel even better later. Tell me, Ricky. Tell me how you met Lynn.
Well, she was staying at the same hotel with her mother and father. He came up on business. A right guy, Maestro. You'd like him.
Yes, I'm sure I would.
One night I just found myself dancing with her. I don't know yet how it happened. But there we were. And after that, well, it seemed like there was nobody else in the world but we two. I don't know, Maestro, but suddenly I realized that what I wanted most in the world was right there. Something I can't remember having. Something I wanted all the time and with all my heart. I'm tired of hotel rooms and training camps and fight talk and no one and nothing to come home to. I love Lynn. I love her family. They love me. That's all there is, Maestro. I guess that's the crop for any man. Hey, it's getting kind of hot, Maestro.
Remember, Ricky, remember the day we first met?
Maestro, the steam is getting a little too much.
Remember, it was backstage at the Met. He wanted to be a ballet dancer.
Maestro.
I must laugh when I think of those days. You had muscle and you had grace and you had power, but you didn't know what to do with them. And I show you. Not ballot. Years of sacrifice. For what? I found you and I found the ring and I brought the two of you together. And 1 year, you were near the top. Yes, it was a long year, Ricky, but we went through it together. Yes, I can't help feeling that your leaving is almost a tragic finale to a A brilliant ring career.
What?
Yes, a tragic finale. And then... we got your first fight in New York. How nervous you were. Your New York debut. Not a temet to the music of Offenbach's Gaieté Parisienne, no. But at the Madison Square Garden, to the roar of 15,000 throats. Do you remember the last thing you said to me before you went into the ring? Remember? Hey, Ricky. Ricky, where are you? Ricky, where are you, Ricky? Ricky! 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 Don't leave me here, Ricky! Ricky, come back. Please come back, Ricky! Open the door! Ricky! Don't leave me! Ricky! 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 My God!
Colonel Joy, please go to the reservation desk. Colonel Joy. Attention, please. Flight 17, Clipper to Rio, ready. Flight 17, ready. Mr. Gluskin, Miss Thompson, Captain J. Stevens, Mr. and Mrs. Ricky Martin. Flight 17, board, please.
Ricky! Ricky, here, hurry.
Hello, darling. Sorry I'm late.
Come on, we've only got... Where's the maestro?
The maestro? I left him in the steam room at the gym. Slipped out on him. I couldn't take it. Poor guy's all broken up. He feels like it's, well, what he'd call a tragic finale.
Mr. and Mrs. Ricky Martin, board flight 17, please.
Come on, darling, let's go.
So closes of Maestro and Man, starring Peter Lorre with Richard Conte. Night's Tale of Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear.
It's my job, it's my privilege, to tell you how much pleasure and enjoyment you can add to everyday living by serving Roma wines with meals when entertaining or anytime. And in hot weather, let me suggest Roma wine cooler offers. Just put ice cubes in a tall glass, half fill it with your favorite Roma wine, then fill it up with sparkling water. For a sweeter drink, add sugar. Ah, that, my people, is really something. And it's so simple, so good, and so inexpensive. It's a fact. The cost of Roma wines is only pennies a glassful. Get Roma wines today. Enjoy them regularly. If your dealer is temporarily out, please try again soon. Just be sure you ask for R-O-M-A, Roma Wines, America's largest selling wines, made in California, for enjoyment throughout the world.
Richard Conte appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the Technicolor production, Wilson. Next Monday, same time, you will hear two distinguished leading ladies, Miss Maureen O'Sullivan and Dame Mae Whitty, as stars of Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines. R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Thank you.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, care of Star Times. I know my life is in danger. I think you can help me. I'm desperate and don't dare go to the police. Please, if you want to help, call at the Tivoli Theater box office for the ticket left there. Our handbill will tell you more.
Our handbill will tell you more. Yeah, that's the way it started. The note from the girl, Maria, the theater ticket, and then murder.
And now, back to Box 13.
It was Thursday when I received a letter from Maria through Box 13. Some of the letters I get are from cranks, some from people who are just curious about a reporter-turned-fiction writer who advertises adventure wanted, will go any place, do anything. But with this one, it was just like Susie said.
Gee, Mr. Holliday, it doesn't look like one of those crank letters or somebody that's just curious, thinks you're crazy or something.
How can you tell, Susie?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's just female ignition.
There's a dictionary over there, Susie. Look up ignition.
Don't you know what it means, Mr. Holliday? It's when a woman...
Skip it, Susie. Skip it.
Oh, okay.
I'm supposed to pick up a ticket for tonight's show at the Tivoli. Take a look at this handbill. Torino. The Great Torino. Like his look, Susie?
Well, I don't know.
That's what I thought. Okay, Susie, close up shop for the day.
You're going to follow it up, huh?
That's the general idea, yes. I want to see what Maria has on her mind and why she's afraid. This was it. I picked up the ticket at the Tivoli. A big poster told me this was a charity affair with the acts doing a two-night stand. Tickets? $10 a throw. I circled around the lobby, looked at the acts advertised, singers, dancers, a dog act, and then there it was. Big life-size cut out of the Great Torino, complete with mustache and goatee. Nice-looking guy, maybe too smooth-looking, but it was what he was doing that made me take a better look. He held a rifle to his shoulder and was aiming it across the lobby at another cutout. And this one was a girl. Pretty? Mm-hmm. Big eyes, maybe a little scared looking, and looking straight across at the Great Torino and right into the barrel of that rifle pointed at her head. Well, if this was Maria, she had a right to have something on her mind. Anybody who stands up and lets a rifle be fired at her is earning a living the hard way. I was thinking about it when the call buzzer zizzed in my ear. I drifted in with the crowd during the overture and took my seat. First row, right on the aisle, easy to get at. An usherette shoved a program in my hands. The Great Torino was scheduled next to closing. Okay, that meant I'd have to sit through the rest of the acts. I did. We'll skip him. But the Great Torino was something different. He had two assistants, a girl and a good-looking young guy. It was a magic act with class, and Torino was clever with his hands. He did a trunk effect. It was really great. And the girl who helped was the same girl whose cutout was in the lobby. Torino tied her with a rope, slipped a big canvas bag over her, and locked her in a trunk. He fired a shot, and bang, the girl came running down the aisle. And the trunk she was put in? Well, empty. All done in a split second, too. The Great Torino took his bow. But I noticed something. When he reached out to take the girl's hand and bow with her, she managed to be busy at something else. Okay. She didn't like him.
He gave her a funny look, then walked to a rack and picked up a nice nickel-plated rifle. I sat up in my seat because the girl threw a quick look at me and a tiny nod. No one would have noticed it but me. I looked back at Torino, who was speaking.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to call your attention to my final effect. A most dangerous one. So dangerous that few illusionists will attempt it. The history of the magician's art has recorded several deaths during the feat. My assistant will go into the audience now and select a committee of volunteers who will please come upon the stage. Maria, if you please.
So the girl was Maria. I guess my cue was to be selected as one of the committee. I raised my hand. She picked me. I went on the stage with four others from the audience. Stood there while Torino went to the footlights and spoke again.
Please, the music. No music. Please, no music. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I shall give the gentlemen of the committee this rifle. It may be examined thoroughly. Also, three bullets, which they may mark later for identification. Gentlemen, the rifle. And here, the bullets. Please mark the lead in any way you choose, unmistakably.
We took the rifle and the bullets. And the great Torino. Well, he had the audience sitting on the edges of their seats. No one knew exactly what was going to happen, and Torino wasn't going to tell them until the right time came. Then one of the other men on the committee spoke to me and...
Bullets look okay to you?
As good as any bullets can look. 22s, huh?
Yeah. How do we mark them?
Initials?
Yeah, good idea. The three of us cut our initials in the lead. That all right with you, mister?
Good. How about the rest of you?
Suits me. I've got a knife here.
Yeah, let me see the rifle.
Yeah, sure, here.
Rifle look okay? No gimmicks?
Not that I can see.
All right, my initials are cut in the bullet. You want to cut yours?
Oh, yes. I cut my initials, DH, in one of the bullets. So we had three bullets with initials cut in the lead. No chance for a substitution. Then Torino took the rifle and the bullets.
Thank you, gentlemen. Grazie tanto. You are satisfied?
Sure, I am.
Yes. Good. Now, if you will all watch closely, I shall load the bullets in the rifle. So, and what is your name, sir?
Holiday.
Good. Then, Mr. Holiday, if you will please hold the loaded rifle until I am ready for it.
Oh, sure.
In this way, there can be no trickery. Ladies and gentlemen, you saw me load the marked bullets, yes? So, and you have the loaded rifle. Good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce once more Maria. Maria? The young lady is as courageous as she is lovely. Maria, you will take your place, please. Mr. Holiday, would you care to shoot at Maria?
Oh, no. No, thank you.
Then that leaves it up to me. No. The rifle, please.
Oh, here you are.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I shall ask for complete quiet. Thank you. Maria, you are ready?
Yes. I'm ready.
The great Torino walked to the other side of the stage. He raised the rifle to his shoulder, pointed it at Maria. She was pale as death. Her arms were tense, tight. Perspiration stood out on her forehead, and on mine, and on everyone in the audience. Then, so help me, this is what happened. A bullet appeared between Maria's teeth. She let it drop to a plate she held in her hands, then, and two more bullets popped between her teeth and fell to the plate. No one in the audience moved. No applause, just that tense feeling. Torino walked over, took the plate. His hands never touched the bullets. I'll swear to it. He walked to me and the other three men with me and...
Gentlemen, you will please to identify the bullets, yes? This one. Initials, T.G.
That's me. Yeah, that's mine, all right.
Thank you. And this one, K.R.
Mine.
Thank you. And the third, D.H.
That's mine. How did he do it? I don't know. All I know is that when I walked off the stage, Maria managed to get a note into my hands. When I read it later, it asked me to meet her at a little coffee shop about 3 blocks from the theater. All right, that's what I did. We sat in a booth, back out of the way, and Maria talked.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Holliday.
That's all right, Maria. I saw a great act, but what am I doing in it?
You can help me. Please help me.
How? Doing what?
You can keep Torino from killing me.
More coffee?
Didn't you hear me?
Oh, sure. Sure, but I don't get it.
You saw the act? The rifle trick?
Yeah, it was great.
Then you must see how easy it would be for Torino to kill me while doing it.
Slow up a little, Maria. Let's start from the beginning.
All right. You saw the other assistant.
You mean the good-looking kid?
That's Billy. I love him and he loves me.
Then what's your problem?
Torino. He hates Billy. And he hates me for loving Billy.
Jealous?
Insanely.
Well, quit then.
I will. After tomorrow night's performance.
But why wait if you're afraid?
I won't be afraid if you're there.
What could I do?
Be on the committee again. If I think anything's wrong, I'll signal you.
And then?
Do anything. Drop the rifle, but don't give it back to Torino.
Now, wait a minute. How could he kill you?
He'd claim it was an accident. 3 magicians or their assistants have been killed accidentally doing the trick. The mechanism of the gun goes wrong.
Giving away secrets, Maria?
I have to. There's a mechanism in the breech of the gun. It drops the real bullets down into Torino's hand when he closes the breech.
Oh, then I get an unloaded gun.
There are blanks in it. The mechanism substitutes them for the real bullets.
That's good. And he slips the real bullets to you?
Yes, when he takes my hand to introduce me.
And you slip them into your mouth?
While the audience is watching Torino and the rifle.
I see. Maria?
Yes?
Why don't you go to the police?
Torino would know. He'd know.
How?
He watches me.
Then aren't you afraid he's watching now?
No, not tonight. I slipped away. I don't think I could manage it again. Don't you see, Mr. Holliday, you're my only chance. I saw your ad in the paper, Box 13.
You mean the police would ask him questions? And he'd lay low until he got the chance to...
Yes. Will you be there tomorrow night, Mr. Holliday? Look, I have a ticket for you here. The same seat. Please. Please.
All right, Maria. I'll be there.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we'll try to keep the trick from being trumped by the great Torino.
And now, back to Box 13 with Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, it sounded like a great assignment. From the way the setup looked from where I sat, it gave the great Torino a perfect chance to kill Maria. I checked on Maria's story about the accidental deaths during the trick, and Jonesy at the Star Times verified it. A smart cookie like Torino could fake an accident, and who's going to pin the black ribbon on him? Nobody. Okay, it's up to you, Holliday, to figure it out. The next night, I sat in the same seat and watched Torino go through his act. The trunk thing, still great, knocked the audience off their seats. Me, too. Couldn't figure it. But the big stuff was still to come, the rifle trick. I went on the stage, kept my eyes on Maria. I marked one of the bullets again. Oddly enough, Torino didn't seem to recognize me. That was all right with me.
And now, ladies
Torino
and
went ladies, through his same spiel, word for word. I kept my eyes on Maria. But it was as though she'd never seen me before in her life. She looked... Well, it sounds silly, but she looked hypnotized. Then I heard Torino saying to me...
Mr. Holliday, would you care to shoot at Maria?
No, thank you. Torino looked at me hard. My name and my face together might have tipped him. There was a funny look in his eyes. I stared at Maria. Not a sign from her.
Maria, you are ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
I relaxed a little. She hadn't given me a sign. Everything was all right, and then...
Maria! Maria!
She dropped. Maria dropped. And right between her eyes was a little round hole.
Look, Holliday. Is that straight, that story?
Sure it is, Kling. She was afraid she'd be killed.
But you say she didn't give you a high sign.
No, she didn't even look at me.
But she told you if there was anything wrong, she'd tip you.
Yes, but she didn't tip me.
Okay. Sergeant.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant.
Get Torino over here.
Yes, sir. All right, you. Lieutenant Kling wants you.
Got any ideas, Holliday?
I'm dry. Bone dry, Kling.
And what about this guy, Billy, she told you about?
I told you.
Okay.
I tell you, it was accident. Accident. Something she was go wrong. Please.
Quiet. Now, it's look.
Accident. She's wrong. Accident that happened. You're so... I am an artist. You tell me I do something wrong. No, it is a wrong
accident. Holy mackerel.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Put this guy in his dressing room and keep him there until he blows off that head of steam.
Wrong, you know.
But watch his door.
Please, listen to me.
And the window from outside.
Yes, sir. Come on, Houdini. Come on.
It's funny, Clint.
I'm hysterical, I don't think. What's funny?
The girl, Maria. I don't think she knew me tonight. She looked right at me. Didn't give me a tumble.
Yeah? So?
She told me she'd signal me if anything was wrong. I don't get it. But it looks as though she...
She what?
She deliberately let Torino fire a gun she knew was set to kill her.
Okay. Well, that makes great sense.
I know. No sense at all. And besides that,
they're... Get away with it. You're going to let him tell you it's all an accident. Well, don't believe it. He killed her.
That's Billy.
Kling.
What?
Let me ask him a couple of things.
Now, look, Holliday, I'm in charge of this case. You're in on a rain check.
Okay, but I'm in, huh?
Yeah, for the one reason that Maria told you about it, and
he killed her. It wasn't an accident.
Oh, I better go help the sergeant.
Any objections if I mosey along with you?
None. Just keep your mouth closed, that's all.
Sure. So I listened while Kling asked questions. But there was something knocking at the back of my head, asking to be let in. Something I'd seen, heard, remembered. I didn't know. But what bothered me was Maria not giving me a signal. When she said she'd know if Torino was up to something. Billy answered Kling's questions.
No, no! All I know is that Torino bluffed Maria. He said he'd kill her if he saw me hanging around her.
Who loads the rifle with blanks?
Maria.
Maria? Does she do it tonight?
She always does it.
Maria loaded the rifle herself. She did. Before the performance. So I got an idea. I left the stage where the investigation was going on, and I walked backstage toward the dressing rooms. I wanted to talk to Torino, but there was a large blue cop sitting at the door. He looked at me and...
Well, Holliday.
Oh, hi, Murph.
I feel lousy.
No, that's too bad. Say, think I could talk to Torino?
No.
Oh, now, look, you can watch and listen, tell Kling everything that goes on.
Playing detective, Holliday?
Nope, playing a hunch.
What about?
Why not listen and find out? And if you learn anything, tell Kling. And you might learn something good.
You mean something that might break the case?
Yeah, might.
Oh, well,
What's the matter, Murph? Can't you use a couple of strikes?
Aye, sure. Oh, okay. But I'm standing right here, understand?
Sure.
Right. Hey, you, get up and... Oh, brother, look. Ain't nobody gonna ask him no questions.
No, I don't think he's in any shape to answer.
A promotion, you say? A promotion? I'll be lucky if I ain't fouled up for good. This guy's been knifed right under my nose.
That's right. Somebody stabbed Torino. He was as dead as Maria. And nobody saw anybody go in or out of the dressing room. There was one window. It was open. But the officer outside swore he had his eye on it. Nobody in or out. And nobody in the room but Torino. Well, the knife was in his back, so suicide was out. Kling and his boys turned the room upside down. Torino's apparatus and trunks were shoved around. Still nobody. And it turned out nobody had a motive for killing Torino except Billy.
Me? Me? Are you crazy? I never left the stage. I was talking to you. I was answering questions. I can't be in two places at once, can I?
He was so right. Kling was tearing his hair. Then more questions. The rest of the acts were strangers to Torino. Knew nothing about him. I was thinking about it when something hit me. Something Billy had said. While Kling was still firing questions, I got to a phone. Hello? Oh, hiya, Kenny. Still running that private eye? Swell. Do something for me, will you? Okay. Put a man on the Tivoli Theater right now and get him to tail a guy named Billy. Huh? Here's what he looks like. About 5'9", stocky, light complexion, wearing gray suit.
Good morning, Mr. Holliday.
Hiya, Susie. Any messages?
Uh-huh. The detective agency called.
And what? What's the message?
Oh, I wrote it down in shorthand. Here. Trail Billy in shoe. No, wait a minute. Ooh, terrible ink. I got it. To insurance company this morning. He placed claim for double indemnity policy for his wife, Maria Baker. Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Holliday. That's not all.
That's enough. I'll see you later, Susie.
Torino.
Step on it, Jonesy.
Oh, you want hard facts? It takes time to find them, even in the morgue of the Star Times.
Okay, Jonesy, okay, but hurry up, will you?
Here we are. Torino, born Italy.
Skip that. How long have you been in the country?
6 months. Noted magician in Italy and Europe before the war.
Only 6 months. Now, Jonesy, if you were a magician and you wanted assistants, how would you get them?
Advertising a billboard, magazine for show folks. What else?
Where can I see the last 6 months' copies of the billboard?
Hey, they got a local office in town. All the copies you want. Hey, where are you going?
Thanks, Jonesy. I'll be seeing you. I've got a lot of reading to do. 6 months' copies of the billboard. I looked through every one of them, and when my eyes were falling out of my head, I saw it. An advertisement. The one I wanted. And the one that tied up with something Billy said. And something I saw during Torino's act. I tried to get Kling on the phone, but no dice. He was out. I left word for him to meet me at the Tivoli, and I went there myself. There was nobody there but the watchman. $5 bill got me in. Oh, there's no place gloomier than backstage in an empty theater. I headed for Torino's dressing room. Because I had a good idea how someone got in and stabbed Torino, then disappeared. I opened the door, stepped inside. It was dark. The shade on the window must have been down. I was fumbling for the light switch when somebody pulled the shade on me.
Idea who slugged the Holliday?
Yeah, Kling, I have.
All right. Who?
Billy, maybe.
No dice. He didn't come near this place. We had a tail on him.
You know about the insurance?
Sure. But he couldn't have killed his wife because she loaded the blanks into the gun.
Uh-huh. And the medical examiner's report on the bullet that killed her? What about that?
22.
And no initials on it?
No, none. So it looks like this Maria deliberately planned her own death. It wasn't an accident. If it had been, the bullet in her head would have been marked.
Kling, put out a dragnet.
For who?
For the one who slugged me.
Now cut it, Holliday. If you know anything, spill it before I lose my temper. Who do you want to pick up?
Here's a description. Young woman, about 26.
26.
Brown hair.
Brown hair.
Lovely blue eyes.
Blue eyes.
About 5'2".
5'2".
Worked as a magician's assistant.
Hey, what are you giving me? That's Maria.
Uh-huh, Maria.
She's dead, you dope.
You mean her twin sister's dead, Kling.
Twin sister? What are you talking about?
The trunk effect Torino worked could have only been done with twins. Billy tipped me off on it.
Billy?
Sure, when he said nobody could be in two places at once. And Torino advertised in the billboard for twins.
You aren't dreaming this.
Put out a dragnet for Maria.
Who stabbed Torino?
Maria. She got her twin sister to take her place in the rifle trick last night. That's why I didn't get a signal from her. The sister didn't know me from Adam.
Now look, Holliday, we searched this dressing room. There was nobody in it when Torino was stabbed.
Maria was here. Look. false back in his cabinet. Good old magician's gimmick. She was here all the while. Maria and Billy took out an insurance policy on her and planned to make me the patsy. Because I'd testify that she told me Torino hated her, that she was scared. Torino was knifed to keep him from spilling about the twins. Billy was in the clear on that, because he had an alibi when Torino was killed. Okay, Clint?
Okay. We'll put out a dragnet.
And they got her, Mr. Holliday?
Yeah, Susie. They got her.
Gee, sounds just like a story.
Uh-huh.
Only nobody will believe it.
Look, I've got a knot on my forehead to prove it. Well, does that make you hysterical?
No, but I was just thinking.
Don't be reckless, Susie. What about?
I was just thinking, with that bump, you'll have to wear off-the-face hats for a while.
You're a great help. Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville, with original story by Russell Hughes and original music composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. The part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker. This is a Mayfair production.